And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome into RBLR Bucks. I'm Musa, one of your co-hosts tonight, and I am absolutely ecstatic that you're here. But more importantly, I am pumped beyond belief that we get to celebrate another massive dub for our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, I'm so excited, I can't even speak properly. But listen, that wasn't just any win. It was a special one, all right? That final drive, oh my Lord, that was pure magic. You best believe we're about to do a deep dive, breaking down key plays from that game. And, you know, we're going to be looking ahead to our next opponent and giving you all the updates from the front office to the sidelines and every player in between. But before we really get into it, I want to give a quick shout out to the rest of the RBLR podcast family, you know, locking down the entire city of Tampa Bay, covering all bases from our incredible men's and women's soccer team to our baseball team to the hockey squad. And if you haven't heard, we've even got a new podcast dedicated to the USF Bulls Athletics. And a friendly reminder, and I say this every single episode, and I really, really mean it every single time. I need you to drop those comments, hit us up, tell us how you really feel, whether you're watching this on, you know, YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram, it don't matter. Give us your predictions, share us your takes on our players. We're all open ears, and you best believe that, all right? But this is never a one-man show. No, so without further ado, it is time to introduce my partner in crime tonight. The only person who can, actually maybe not the only person, but one of the few people who can match my energy when it comes to Buccaneers football. He's a man who brings the heat, radiating that Florida sunshine on every single take. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for my co-host, the one and only Carter Brantley.
Ah, Mr. Treek, make some noise for yourself, am I right? My goodness. How are you doing tonight?
So far, so good. Just, telling you before we started this, you know, having a Monday night football win really sets the tone for the work week as well. And right. On top of that, there was only two games on. So, you know, all your, you know, football enthusiasts were, you know, probably tuned in, you know, and so it was a nail biter to the finish. I'm just happy we got out with the W, especially with everything we're dealing with.
Yeah, you freaking said it. In case anyone was living under a rock this past Monday, the Bucs won 20-19 in dramatic fashion on Monday Night Football. Just really, really some crazy stuff. Came down, like Musab said, very much a nail-biter. Came down to the very end. And unfortunately, there were also some injuries that came out of it, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I wanted to focus first on the game itself, because it was a fun one. You know, it wasn't necessarily the best performance. It wasn't pretty, but just like last week, they got the win no matter how ugly it looked. And I will say, as unimpressive as they might have looked in some areas, there were some areas where you could focus on and say, hey, that looked pretty good. And I wanted to start with a run game because they ran for over 130 yards. It was really impressive. Excuse me, Rashad White ran for 60 plus yards on 10 carries, a little over 6 yards a carry for him. How about that? You know, Rashad White kind of left for dead by a lot of people, which rightfully so. Bucky Irving kind of stole his spot, but Rashad White, hey, he's still relevant. He's still there. He's still cooking. Mr. White, it is time to cook. But yeah, the run game, Bucky had 70 plus rushing yards as well. So the run game finally got going. Does this ease your mind a little bit, Musab, especially with how many offensive linemen they had injured? Because, you know, Gadecki went out pretty much immediately. Like, he was in the game for a little bit, but Wirfs is obviously out, so Barton's at left tackle. How do you feel about the run game moving forward after this excellent performance without a lot of their starters?
It definitely helps me sleep a little better at night, you know, seeing Rashad White and, you know, with the offensive line that we have, you know, establish something. With all the guys going down, it meant a lot. I mean, I think, you know, this is what makes teams successful. I mean, there's still a lot of issues we have, so I'm not going to say, oh, yeah. But having, you know, two reliable running backs and, you know, being able to, you know, utilize Rashad White, you know, to the best of, you know, Josh Grizzard's ability, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, let's also factor in the fact that, yeah, this is only his second game with Baker and the rest of the offense. So. Right. The fact that, you know, he was able to kind of, you know, make adjustments, change things up and, you know, still allow the run game to succeed. I think it's great. And I think it's also nice. Yeah, I feel like Rashad White's been out of the picture, so that was nice to see as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're not even mentioning Sean Tucker, and I think of Sean Tucker as being a pretty solid third running back, like maybe even a backup on some team. So I was pretty stoked to see Rashad White go out there and do the things that he did Monday night. And yeah, bringing up I'll call him JG from now on because I don't even want to try to butcher his last name. So JG had just great game plan. Obviously, the offense came out swinging the first quarter. Plus, they had, you know, those two touchdowns to start the game. And then it kind of went quiet for the second and third quarter and most of the fourth. So that was kind of tough, but, this is a really good Texans defense. They were one of the best defenses in the NFL last year. I don't doubt that that's going to remain the case this year, both with DeMeco Ryans as their head coach. You got Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter off the edges that are just monsters. And then you got Derek Stingley, one of the best corners in the NFL. There's talent galore on that defense. So it was going to be a tough matchup, especially on the road. So yeah, JG stepping up and coming up with a really nice game plan there, especially to get the run game going. Like you said, Musa, that was a really big thing. And yeah, it's definitely a lot easier to sleep at night, like you said, when you have at least two solid running backs, maybe even a third if Sean Tucker gets involved. But focusing on that last drive, because we're trying to focus on the positive, because this was a win, you know, like they did end up winning this game. What were your thoughts going into that final drive? Like I don't know. I tuned into the game super late. I was at the Rays game Monday night, and I tuned in for that last drive, and whoo, man, that was electric. What were your thoughts? Any plays that stood out? Give us some thoughts on the final drive of the Bucks that won the game.
Oof. I mean, it was stressful because it could go both ways, you know.
For sure.
You know, we've seen, you know, Baker and other guys, you know, Evans, you know, working things out and, you know, coming in clutch, but it was also scary to see how many other issues we were having, specifically our O-line. I mean, come on, let's talk about that iconic, you know, first down conversion that Baker had. That was scary. You know, for half a second, I was like, you idiot. You know, where are you going, man? Like, you're about to get tackled. Because there were a couple of times that, the D-line was chased down Baker. And, you know, right before he was able to, you know, I think with that fumble, for example.
Right.
Right before he was going to get rid of it, you know, mm-hmm. I think it was Danielle Hunter who had dived onto him and knocked it out.
Sure.
That was the scariest thing. I mean, but to be able to kind of work it out, I mean, it wasn't just the Baker show, but then again, it kind of was. I mean, it was really led by him. That play honestly just changed the momentum and everything. So, it was just crazy. It's just so nuts to see a team like ours with all the adversities we face still scrape out another win like that. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's Baker, man. He plays with some cojones, you know. He comes out swinging, and he definitely did that Monday night. And I mean, it gets the people going. You know, he has those crazy scrambles where you're like, man, what the heck is he doing? And then, you know, the whole, like, when Draymond Green takes a three-pointer for the Golden State Warriors, like, no, yes, when it goes in. That kind of thing with Baker scrambling is definitely how I feel. But, yeah, he gritted out through an injury, it looked like. He looked a little banged up, and then there's that clip of him, you know, John with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He looked like he was hurt, and then he heard Chauncey Gardner-Johnson talking some mess, and then he immediately shot up and was like, you know, yapping around. So it was some crazy stuff. There was a lot of really fun stuff. But yeah, that final drive really kind of put it all together. And Rashad White punched it in. You know, Rashad White got the touchdown, so that was cool to see as well. But Baker Mayfield, my goodness, he was really cooking. And I'll give him a lot of credit in terms of EPA per play, estimated points added per play with a clean pocket. He's like a top five quarterback in that stat in terms of production. So when he's not pressured, which obviously that's kind of goes for every quarterback is going to be better when they're not pressured, but he's really, really good when he has a clean pocket. So those tackles can't come back soon enough to put it plainly. Cause Wirfs and Gadecki, they'll do a better job than I think Graham Barton and what the heck, you know, Charlie Heck. It's going to be tough moving forward. But speaking of other injuries, Kalaji Kansi, he's probably, it's looking like he might be done for the year. He has, I think a torn pec, I believe, or something torn and not looking great. So Elijah Roberts, you're the next man up. He's going to hopefully step into that role, or maybe they'll, you know, go in some with the practice squad and stuff like that. maybe by committee kind of thing, but how confident are you the Bucks are going to be able to fill Kancey's shoes? Because he's really good when he's healthy, but my goodness, he has had a tough time staying on the field. So what are your thoughts on this Kancey injury and how the Bucks move forward?
I mean, yeah, it is just next man up. I know, you know, the Buccaneers had also, you know, picked up Elijah Simmons.
Yes, out of Tennessee
recently. But
right, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's as excited as I want to be for Elijah Simmons. It's going to be about Elijah Roberts, man.
Right.
We've seen some good stuff in the preseason, and look, he's a rook. This is his time to shine. You know what I'm saying? So this is the perfect opportunity to really kind of, you know, decide, well, now that Elijah Roberts is finally, you know, getting, you know, the spotlight, you know, mm-hmm. we can really kind of, you know, get a good evaluation. You know, I hope you kind of get what I'm saying, because I feel like, you know, for example, I didn't get that kind of vibe, for example, with Chris Braswell last year. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, didn't really see much from Braswell. But now, Kancey's out. Elijah Roberts, you got to step up, man. Make some damage. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we're going to be looking out for that, because our pass rush has been very meh.
Yeah, and luckily, I do think that, excuse me, because we can just get into it now. Servasié Denis, not pretty good, not very good against in coverage. He has been rough to watch dropping back into coverage, but he seems to be doing a decent enough job in the run game, which, you know, maybe that kind of offsets. But luckily, whatever backdrop Kancey might have had versus Roberts in the run game, because Roberts might not be as good of a run defender as Kancey. I do think that Roberts can at least sort of try to approach Kancey's production in terms of a pass rusher, or at least that's the hope. Obviously, you can kind of take a preseason performance with a grain of salt. But like you said, he did have some really, really fun tape in the preseason. And the hope is that maybe he can use that momentum and carry into the season.
And that was one of the other things I think, you know, on the scouting report, even when I was watching this tape and when we got him as well, is that he was known to be a versatile defensive lineman. So
right. Yeah.
That's the good part is, okay, maybe can he exactly fill in Kancey's shoes? Maybe, maybe not. But hopefully he's able to do something.
Yeah. And maybe the thought process would be that you can't necessarily fill his shoes. Like it's the money ball thing. We can't replace him, but we can recreate him in the aggregate, you know, that type of thing. Use mm-hmm. him as a situational interior defensive lineman. That would be sort of the role that I guess he would play moving forward. So we'll see. It's something to monitor. But player of the game, I figured we'd at least try to get back on the positive track, because we got to get back into the injuries after we talk about the player of the game. But Baker Mayfield was our player of the game. He was fantastic. Just that final drive, you know, I really can't emphasize enough how impressive that was. He looked totally in control. He really got the guys going. His leadership, his X factor, if you want to call it that, it's off the charts. You really can't measure it. Obviously, there's also some things that he's really good at that you can also measure. But yeah, he was just outstanding this past Monday night. He was good when it counted, and he was dealing with some nonsense in terms of the offensive line, as well as Houston just being a really, really good defense, even with a healthy offensive line. So I was really impressed by Baker's performance. But do you have any other thoughts on Baker, or maybe some guys, other guys that played really well that you wanted to shout out, Musa?
No, I mean, I am happy from, you know, seeing Rashad White and, you know, Igbuka, a rookie, you know, getting a touchdown, because yeah. I still, you know, remember that day when I was like, oh, my God, why do we get Igbuka? But thank God we got him. But no, Carter, this game was all about Mr. Baker Mayfield, man. You know, I'm repping him right now as well.
Ooh, I got this
custom, yeah, man, custom Timu shirt. I never pulled out this bad boy, but I said, you know, today was definitely the day. I mean, look. Did he have a godly game? Of course not, but he scraped away the win with the rest of the guys. I mean, all that adversity, and I mean, we always say it. So many people say it. Baker Mayfield's a dog, and it's a momentum changer. When you see your quarterback go down and then, boom, going face-to-face with C.J. Gardner-Johnson like that, it fires you up, man. Hell, if I was Riley Dixon, I'd probably be like, yo, throw me in, coach.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. You get everyone so fired up that the punter's trying to, you know, do some damage on the field. Yeah, no,
definitely. Yeah, slot. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Have him line up. Yeah, it's, you know, it's some really impressive stuff. And, you know, he had a fun little quote. We will have a little explicit about it, but, you know, he was just talking about how he got up and talked with CJ Gardner-Johnson. And he said, we don't take any stuff, except he didn't say stuff. That's about it, and that's the Baker Mayfield quote. So yeah, shout out to Baker. He was doing his thing, And hopefully he's able to continue to do it despite these injuries. But if you're looking for the Baker Mayfield of wardrobe upgrades, if you're looking to come in clutch, you know, you're nearing the end of summer. We're going into fall. Obviously, football season's starting back up. So you're looking for some Tampa Bay sports merch, head to shop.rblrsports.com. We'll have you covered. And Mr. Musab Tariq is having a little wardrobe change himself in the middle of the show. Look at him go. Look at that. That's fantastic. He's got some RBLR.
You know, I got to do it for RBLR.
Oh, heck yeah. Anything for the channel. Heck yeah. So head to shop.rblrsports.com. Type in the promo code Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Get 10% off your entire order. We'd sure appreciate it. All right. So we're nearing up on our second half of the episode, and we got to talk about injuries. So obviously we mentioned the Kalijah Kancey injury, and Tristan Wirfs and Luke Gedeky. Wirfs is out for at least another week or two probably, and Luke Gedeky's status is very much up in the air as well. But now Cody Mauch is potentially out for Sunday as well. It's depressing. So obviously in the short term, the Jets have really struggled defensively. They have not been able to put together a cohesive defensive game plan. So I don't know about the short term in terms of like this week, it being a massive, massive deal, but what are your long-term concerns for this team? I mean, the offensive line is just, I don't know. Like having three offensive linemen be out is just brutal. Like I don't know how you anticipate that. I don't know how you build in enough depth for that to happen, you know. So what are your thoughts on this offensive line long term?
I mean you don't. I feel like this is very kind of a rare occasion that I feel sure. like I'm hearing about. Maybe this happened in the past to other teams, but it's nuts. I mean, in the long term, just I don't know what can I say, you know, just right. you know, ensuring our guys stay healthy. Who can we elevate? But just working out with the best. I mean, this is just going to be another test, a rather, you know, not needed test for example, you know, for our offensive coordinator, Josh Grizzard, and just the rest of the team as well. You know, how can we adjust with, you know, now no Cody Mauch? Because, I mean, is he the greatest offensive lineman? No, but, I mean, he comes in handy, of course.
He's solid.
He's done a good job, too. Yeah. He came in clutch, actually, for that Egbuka touchdown. Nasty block. So, he'll definitely be missed. So, dude, I don't know what to say. It's just, yeah. I mean, you know, there's only so much anyone knows about our backups, and there's a reason for that. And then when we watch them, or when you watch any backup, sometimes it's visible why they are. So, I mean, we're going to deal with issues, but –
For sure.
I just feel like I'm going on with this, and what I just want to summarize is, I mean, yeah, I guess in one way, there's a chance we might be just screwed. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, SOL. Yeah, as they say. Yeah, and they're facing Quinn and Williams. I don't want to dismiss the Jets completely, you know, because they do have some talent on that defensive line, especially, and obviously Sauce Gardner is great. But there are ways to hopefully maybe game plan around that. I think you saw it last year with the Saints and their little – Jeremy Lin, you know, their little insanity run to start the season with that offense. If you have an awful offensive line, there's ways to sort of manage your way around it for a few games. How sustainable that is, obviously the Saints showed maybe not so much. It's going to be tough to see how they manage it over a whole season. And it's just going to be tough. But luckily, like I said, the Jets did have 30 points dropped on them in each of their first two games, given one of them was the Bills. The Bills are going to score 30 on everyone. But the first week was the Steelers. So, you know, not too pretty. I don't know. It's definitely an interesting development in that regard, because I think we thought of the Jets for a little bit as like, oh, their defense was always pretty good, but their offense couldn't figure it out. And now it seems like both sides are kind of struggling. So we'll see how that goes. But some big news today that came out for the Jets. Justin Fields is going to be out with a concussion, their starting quarterback. So Tyrod Taylor, their backup, will be filling in for Fields. How much of a difference does this make for you? Because I know Justin Fields looked pretty good against the Steelers, but took a bit of a step back maybe against the Bills. And obviously there's always the concern of him throwing the ball, but you know, he is a great running quarterback for whatever else it may be true about him. So how much of a difference does this make for you going from Justin Fields to Tyrod Taylor for the Jets?
I mean, I think it definitely makes a difference for sure. I don't want to just count out Tyrod Taylor either. I mean, he's a veteran quarterback. He can manage the game, make smart decisions. I mean, he's seen it all. Of course, doesn't have that, you know, dynamic mobility or I mean, I don't know how much big play potential he has compared to, you know, Justin Fields. But I think it just changes the game plan just for our defense. I feel like, you know, even with Justin Fields, they're a little bit more of a run-heavy team. So just being more aggressive, such as, you know, on the blitzing, stopping the run instead of, you know, trying to, you know, stop some scrambling quarterback like Justin Fields.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to worry about, you know, playing nearly as much assignment football. Like, you know, you talk about, I know they're not Army or Navy or anything, but, you know, you look at college football, and when you play Army, Navy, or Air Force, like, there's always going to be that concern about, you know, running against the option. And Justin Fields, you know, they run those read options. You know, they run the ball quite a bit with him, and rightfully so. He's very dynamic in that way. But yeah, like you said, Tyrod Taylor, definitely a bit longer in the tooth. He's been around the league for a while. I remember when he was a playoff quarterback for the Bills that one year before they got Josh Allen. So he's been around the block for sure. And yeah, it's definitely a step down in terms of athletic ability. But Tyrod Taylor, like we've been saying, he's a veteran, very steady, very, like you said, a game manager. That's the perfect way to put it. So, you know, there's things there to kind of worry about. But also, Breece Hall, really good dynamic running back that they have. So, you know, maybe you focus a little bit more attention on him instead of worrying about Justin Fields pulling it out and taking off for a big gain. So, you know, there are pluses and minuses for this for sure. But I wanted to talk about some key matchups because there are some really interesting players on the Jets. Like, I want to start off with the obvious one, I think, is really Mike Evans versus Sauce Gardner, or maybe Emeka Ebuka versus Sauce Gardner. I don't know. Ebuka's been really good to start the year, so maybe they switch it up a little bit. But regardless, I do think that that's going to be a really big one to watch because Mike Evans, I mean, it's Mike Evans, you know, one of the best in the NFL, one of the best receivers of the 21st century. He's outstanding. Sauce Gardner, also outstanding in his own right. So that should be a lot of fun to watch. But what else are you going to be – who else are you going to be watching on the Jets in terms of matching up versus this Bucs team?
I'm looking at the Bucs front seven versus the Jets running game. As I mentioned, yeah, Jets are a run first team. If we can stop them on the ground, force Tyrod Taylor into, you know, uncomfortable, you know, third and long situations. And it's also just going to come down to people like, you know, Vita Vea, you know, having a good game against the offensive line. So it's going to be another kind of, you know, battle in the trenches for sure. But I feel like, you know, I have some confidence that, you know, we'll be able to, you know, kind of do the same thing like we did with the Texans. I mean, other than that Nick Chubb touchdown he had at the end, I mean, yeah, he racked up, I think, 43 yards. But before that, and, you know, you could say, you know, we kind of let that happen too. It's, you know, we shut him out. So,
yeah,
same thing, you know, against the Falcons as well. I mean, yeah, Bijan Robinson had a great game, you know, on the reception side. But so I hope – I think the Bucs will be able to do the same, but – you never know. You know, I'm sure the Jets got their own kind of, you know, game plan cooked up, especially now with Tyrod Taylor into the equation.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting because, yeah, like you said, the Bucs are, I mean, they've always been this way. It seems like for the past, you know, pretty much since Todd Bowles got there, they've been outstanding against the run. And that doesn't seem to be changing this year. You know, Vita Vea, obviously, like you said, is a big part of that. And yeah, Vea is going to be out there, obviously. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how him and then Logan Hall and whoever that third defensive lineman is going to be, how they deal with the run game. Levante David and Servassier Dennis obviously playing a big part as well. And yeah, because the Jets, like you mentioned, Breece Hall and Braylon Allen hasn't really played as much of a factor as I think people thought that he was going to, but he's still someone to watch for. So yeah, the Jets run game versus that Bucs front seven, definitely going to play a much bigger role, like you said, especially with Justin Fields out. But some other guys, Garrett Wilson, obviously a really, really good wide receiver, how he does against the Bucs secondary, because, hey, Jamel Dean obviously was, you know, he was the villain of Bucs Twitter in week one. But week two, he turned it around a little bit. Like, he didn't look too bad in week two. So hopefully Jamel Dean and Zion McCollum and, you know, Antoine Winfield and Tyke Smith, they can combine to sort of focus all their energy on Garrett Wilson, because their receiver room does get a good bit thin after Garrett Wilson. There's not a whole lot of talent there to worry about. And then Quinnen Williams, I brought him up earlier against this Bucs interior offensive line, especially with Cody Mauch questionable, at least for Sunday. If he's out, oh my goodness, that's going to be tough, because then you got Elijah Klein. I don't know. So that's going to be a really, really interesting matchup to watch out for. So yeah, we'll see. But taking a look around, well, a little bit more of a league-wide view, I did want to ask you about your fantasy team, Musab. How's your fantasy team doing in our league? Any other leagues that you've got? How's your fantasy season going so far?
It's been going so far so good. I think I'm 1-1 in the RBLR league, but you know, it just I think I don't know. I feel like nothing's really surprised me. I'm happy with my guys and all that. But I don't know. It's been always interesting, and the beauty of it, or I hate to say it like this, but it's just that, you know, injuries happen. So
right,
sometimes a beautiful team starts to, you know,
yeah, fall apart.
Go into a, turn into it, fall apart a little bit, you know. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not too too hard headed on that stuff. So you know, if they have a good game, they have a good game. But what I will say is, as you know, I have an all Bucks fantasy team.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Roster. That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I'm 0-2. fortunately, it's just a for fun league, so that's not going well. Gotcha. But I'm curious to see when, you know, what week, or if I do get even one win, you know. So yeah, maybe right. Maybe I'll just put it back on you, you know, just based on your fantasy experience and based on how the Bucks do in fantasy. Do you think I'll be able to get one win just with an all Bucks roster?
No.
Yeah, but really.
Then again, I could also say that pretty much about any team. I don't want to make it seem as if I'm like, you know, just singling out the Bucks or anything. Like, if you did that for any team, because then you have, like, at best, like, if let's say you had the Ravens, then your big three are Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, and Zay Flowers, and maybe Mark Andrews has a decent game, and then, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. So, like, it's tough because there's only one ball, you know. So if you have one team focused for your entire fantasy team, like if one guy has a great game, it could be at the expense of another guy having a good game. Whereas, like, obviously when you mix it up, then the teams are spread around and you're spreading the love around. But yeah, I don't know. It would take a pretty miraculous offensive performance, I think, for you to win.
I'm thinking Panthers week.
Ooh, the Panthers week. That's
just imagine Baker goes off, you know, the running backs go off, our defense go off. And then Baker, you know, Chase McLaughlin gets, you know, a bunch of opportunities. Hopefully he makes them all.
Right.
You know, maybe one of our tight ends, Kate Otten or someone like that, Cokie, Devin Culp, they get some action in. I guess so. I guess there's potential. But, yeah, I doubt it, though. It was just, you know, kind of a guinea pig team.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Hey, you got to have some fun with fantasy football because it's silly. Like, if we're treating everything like it's super serious and, oh, we got to win, like, then it's, you know, it can be a bit more of a chore than I think it's supposed to be. But, yeah, Chase McLaughlin, my goodness, he's another guy that's, I don't know. He looked rough this past week, and he looked rough in week one. I'll be curious to see how long of a leash he has. I know they gave him a pretty big contract, but you might be having to swap out fantasy kickers for whoever they find to replace Chase.
Yeah, McLaughlin. Before you know it, they pull a Young Hoku on him and
right, make him inactive.
We get some guy. Yeah, we get some new guy, you know, from out of nowhere. But yeah. What are your thoughts overall on the special teams? I'm happy with Riley Dixon. Our return game seems okay, I guess.
Yeah, nothing it's fine.
Super spectacular.
There was actually a really fascinating I listened to this podcast by Sumer Sports. Shout out to them. But there's a really fascinating thing that they talked about, dirty kicks, or I can't remember the name of it. But, you know, the new kickoff rules are really interesting where, like, you know, you can't start running until the guy touches the ball. So their thought or the ball hits the ground. So their thought process was, and some teams have been trying this, when it's the kickoff, you kick the ball so that it lands in the target area, but you kick it away from the kick returner. So then the ball can kind of jump all different kind of ways. Cause I don't know if you saw that Steelers game, but the Steelers player just kind of let the ball go into the end zone. And then I think it was the Seahawks. They got a touchdown out of it. Yeah, that was brutal. So I'll be fascinated to see how that spreads throughout the NFL, but especially with the Bucks, to see if they start trying some different strategies. Cause right now, like, the average drive is starting at the 30-yard line right now, or 29.9. But so it's been, you know, that's that's not a bad starting point. Then you're pretty much just like a first down or two away from midfield, you know? So, yeah, I'll be really curious to see how that plays out. But yeah, the special teams, Jason McLaughlin's been rough. So that's kind of a tough part of it. But the rest, like you said, it's been fine. So I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to see. So I don't know. It'll be a storyline to monitor for sure. But I know you have some over-unders for us, right? So before we get to our prediction,
sure do.
What you got?
Yeah. So I'll start off with just a simple one, just because I think my score prediction reflects on this. So I'll just leave it at that. So Baker Mayfield passing yards over under 205.5.
Ooh.
So 205.5 over under, just because, you know.
I'm going to have to go.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go over pretty comfortably. 205 seems a bit low, especially for a team with Mike Evans and Emeka Ibuka out there. And this Jets defense has looked rough. I think he goes over, and I'm fairly confident in that one. But that is interesting, because they could pound the ball, you know, on the ground, and, you know, use that run game to their advantage, because you know, they ran the ball really well last week. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them do that. And maybe that comes at the cost of the passing game, but I'm still going to go over on the Baker passing yards. How about you, Musab? What you got for this one?
For 205, I'm going to say, I'm not going to be that confident. I think you'll be able to scrape by it. Just because, I mean, it's just, you know, kind of a similar situation to the Texans. You know, we have a depleted offensive line. It's now even worse than it was from last week. So I feel like it's just not, you know, yes, we have Mike Evans and Ekbuka, and, you know, I think they'll definitely have their moments to shine, of course. But, you know, who knows how this game goes? What if we just go for a couple of quick throws here and there, get a first down, a couple of runs, and then maybe only just a handful of really kind of some deep balls, you know, hopefully most of them are caught. I don't, you know, but we'll see about that. So I don't know. I mean, the Jets defense is not something to be underestimate.
For sure, there's talent there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, this is not, you know, possibly, you know, this could be a possible trap game. You know, I don't want to just count the Jets out just because of, you know, how they're looking so far and how we've been looking. I mean, we were just scraping by wins. I mean, we could easily be 0-2 right now, too. 100%. So, yeah. So I'm going to go over as well. So my next one, though, this one a little bit more interesting, just because this is going to be probably the most anticipated matchup of the game. Mike Evans over under 4.5 receptions.
I'm going to go over there as well. I think he has not like a massive game or anything, but I think he has 5 or 6 catches. That's a good one. That's a tougher one. Because Mike could he could have an impact.
He's hit 5 these last 2 games.
Right.
Yeah,
and he could have an impactful game without going over, you know, like he could have like 3 or 4 big time catches that makes a big time difference in this game. So it's not even necessarily saying, oh, Mike Evans is going to be bad, Sauce Gardner is going to lock him up. It's just, you know, that's how the ball rolls sometimes. You know, he's Mike Evans. They're going to focus a lot of attention on him. So yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go over, but not nearly as confident as the Baker Mayfield passing yards one.
I'm going to go under on this. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like 4. I think, ooh, okay. You know, or at least as of right now, I think the plan will be Sauce Gardner is going to be all over him. May not get a high volume, you know, of targets. But on top of that, I mean, you know, when I'm thinking of Mike Evans, I mean, yes, he can, you know, come through for some quick passes too. But, you know, you think of more of him as, you know, getting those iconic deep balls as well, especially with his size and all that. So, you know, the only way you're going to get deep balls is if your quarterback has time. You know what I'm saying? So
that's a good point. Yeah.
Our offensive line is also, you know, looking like, you know, some Tampa Bay JV football team then.
Right. I mean, looking like Swiss cheese. Yeah.
Mike Evans could have an interesting day. It's really anyone's game. I could really see, you know, someone else stepping out of nowhere. You know, I mean, we saw Ryan Miller, you know, rack up a touchdown out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes through for another couple of big plays. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go under on this. This one's a lot tougher for me though, but yeah.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, it's gonna be really, really fun to watch him do his thing. Regardless of the result, hopefully the Bucks can pull this out and Mike Evans has a great game, but that's still gonna be a fun matchup to watch him and Sauce. Because I'd imagine that him and Sauce are probably going to be, you know, mixing it up quite a bit. And those wide receiver cornerback, you know, they can get a little chirpy, you know, they can get a little intense. So we'll see how that goes. But all right, so we got to go to the prediction side of things. We got to get in our predictions, who we think is going to win and what the score will be. So Musab, hit us with who you got and by how much.
Oof, I think this one's going to be a slugfest. I thought hard about this, but, you know, considering everything we're dealing with, I'm going 17-13 Buccaneers win. I think, you know, the Jets defense, especially with our issues, they're too good to just completely, you know, just count out.
Yeah.
You know, we're figuring out a lot of things with, you know, all of our O-line injuries. I think this game is going to be those kind of games that, again, is one in the trenches. But then again, I will say, you know, the Jets offense doesn't really, you know, intimidate me or anything, which I will say is a potential for a turnover. And in that way, I think maybe we could, you know, get a little bit more of a bigger win. But for now, I'm going to go 17-13.
Yeah, I'm going to go 20-10 Bucks. But I am with you. If the Bucks can get some dang turnovers, my goodness, just the lack of takeaways has always been so frustrating with this team. And, man, if they could get a takeaway or two, that could make a huge difference in this game. Because, you know, they've pretty much won these past two games kind of straight up. You know, they haven't really made a whole lot of splashy plays on defense, but they've been solid. They've been fine defensively, like not good, but not, you know, not great, but not bad either, kind of in the middle. So, yeah, I think they could. And it's Tyrod Taylor. It's the Jets. Like, they're not going to be blowing you up with big time plays, especially with Tyrod back there. So yeah, I think 20-10 is going to be my score prediction. I think, like you said, it's definitely going to be a rock fight type of thing, you know, just one of those types of games. So we'll see. But yeah, I still think the Bucks pulled out. But regardless, we'll be back here next week. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you heard. Feel free to comment with your thoughts. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think the Bucks are going to lose this weekend. Or when we come back next week, maybe you'll tell us how we were wrong and you were like, oh, the Jets were going to win this whole time. But regardless, we'll be back next week. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you to my co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq, for making my job incredibly easy. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.